Hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Peer Connections, the podcast series brought to you by the Global Peer Financing Association, also known as GPFA. These podcasts offer our GPFA members and global beneficial owner friends a forum for information sharing and discussion on topics most important to them. And we hope you, our listeners, appreciate the insights, best practices, and transparency offered from our members and industry friends about securities, finance, or related investment areas. Now let's get into the episode.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of GPFA's Peer Connections podcast. I am Brooke Gilman and will be your host for today's conversation. I'm coming to you in my volunteer capacity, supporting the GPFA as secretary to the association in support of the work that the GPFA board does. It's been a minute or two since GPFA last podcasted, but it's been worth the wait because we have a big one today. And today we have four of our GPFA members, and I would say sort of the OG four, which are the founding board members of the GPFA with us. And they're pretty excited to get together and to share some GPFA highlights and updates, but most importantly, to celebrate what is a pretty big milestone for this group and association, which is the fifth year anniversary that was held last year in 2025. It's taken us a little bit of time to get together and get everyone on the same schedule to record this podcast, but I'm very excited to have you all here. So maybe we can go around the virtual room here and start with the godfather of GPFA, Mr. Rob Gooby, just to introduce yourself and we'll go around the room.
Thank you, Brooke. I'm Robert Gooby from the Healthcare Voluntary Pension Plan. I'm the Senior Managing Director of Balance Sheet and Liquidity Management. I'm also the chair of the GPFA.
And Chris, over to you. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Thanks, Brooke. I'm Chris Benish. I'm a senior portfolio manager here at State of Wisconsin Investment Board and proud board member of the GPFA. Been with the group since the beginning and looking forward to reflecting back on 5 years.
Perfect. And Mr. Jerry May from Ohio, over to you for an introduction.
I'm Jerry May from Ohio PERS, senior portfolio manager here in charge of cash and securities lending, and also similar to Chris, founding board member here since the beginning. And it's been quite the journey and looks like it's going to be just as exciting as ever as we move forward. So looking forward to it.
All right. And Mr. Johnson from CalPERS.
Yeah, thanks, Brooke. Mike Johnson, investment manager at the California Public Employees Retirement System. I am not an OG board member. I filled in for my predecessor a few years ago, so I've only been on the board for 4 years now. So 4 years board member, very proud of what we've accomplished in my time here. I've been involved from the get-go, but very proud to be a part of this association.
I think of you as pretty OG, Mike, so don't undersell yourself, please.
Yeah, technically, no, I wasn't listed as a board member, but yeah, I've been involved from the get-go.
You've been with it from the outset. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think 22 officially became a member. So I'm the new guy on the board.
Perfect. Good. Okay. So Rob, you really had the vision behind what became GPFA. And can you just give everyone, for the benefit of those listeners that aren't intimately familiar with how it grew up and how it became a group of the four pensions that you're hearing from today, getting together and establishing this not-for-profit business association for the betterment of the securities financing industry for the buy side?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've been in the industry for 30 years or so. I spent the first 15 years of my career in the back office and the last 17 years plus in the investment management area. My first conference I attended was back in 2008. It was a beneficial owner conference, met most of the guys here in the pod today. And we've been meeting ever since every year. And we said we have the conversation and then we left the conversation and never pick it up. And after about 7 years of connecting and looking back at discussions we had and haven't seen progress, I thought it was a good idea for us to get together and form an association so we could continue the discussion. The idea was to bring all the buy side together, beneficial owners together, so we could work as a team for the betterment of the industry itself.
Thanks, Rob. And so knowing that that was the original thought and vision behind it, maybe Chris Benish, you can help take our listeners from that moment to perhaps where we are today. And how has the thought and the mission and the value proposition of the association evolved over the last 5 years for the membership?
It's funny, Brooke, as I was thinking about this recording coming up and reflecting back on not just the last 5 years, but for me, the last 19 years, right? I haven't been in the industry as long as Rob, but I remember that conference back in 2008. I remember sitting down with this very excited, dynamic guy named Rob Gooby, who was showing me all sorts of amazing things that they were building at Hoop. The excitement was contagious, and it was a great conversation, and it bled into the beneficial owner closed door discussion that was had at that conference. And when it was all over, there was sort of something missing, right? We wanted to keep that energy going. Fast forward several years, as Rob said, when the opportunity came to start connecting on a more regular basis, for me, it was a no-brainer. I jumped at it, and I've been a big believer in this kind of network effect ever since. And so, after a number of years of connecting through conference calls on a quarterly basis and then a monthly basis, a number of us came together to say, hey, what if we did some trades with each other? It was a novel idea at the time. It was something that we hadn't really solved for previously. And to me, that's really kind of the origin story of the GPFA, is sitting on those calls month after month, had a different axe to grind and a different problem to solve, but we did it collaboratively. And when it was all said and done, we had really good information to share. And we said, how do we do this? How do we get this information out into the world? And that became the seed that was the Global Peer Financing Association as a way to do some of this knowledge sharing for other people that were interested, other entities that were interested in trading more directly, interacting with each other. And that was when we started the journey of, hey, let's establish an association to bring people together to share this information, to share this knowledge.
It's funny enough, we started off with the idea of peer-to-peer, but in the end, we turned into an organization that has multiple disciplines. We have multiple working groups. We have the legal working group, the technology working group. We created an AI working group right now as well. I think we have like about eight working groups. One of the other working group we have is our annual meeting working group. What started as a peer-to-peer entity and a peer-to-peer idea turned into more of an industry knowledge sharing. And I always say, when you think about trading, trading is the tip of the iceberg, but everything else that support the trade and support the financing is what matters. So your operation team, your technology team, your risk team, your cash management team, you bring them all together, and then you can really and truly create a funding business. And actually, when we started the organization, it was sec lending, but it's no longer sec lending, it's a financing type of discussion now.
That's great to hear about the evolution. Mike, what are your thoughts in terms of maybe you could comment on what you've seen members get out of the growth of GPFA and the diversity that the conversations now have across various disciplines? What's your perspective that you've seen in terms of the growth of the association?
Yeah, I think the industry as a whole has kind of evolved. As Rob said, it was all about securities lending. 100% it was. And if you look out there and if you look at conferences nowadays, you don't see the word securities lending. You see securities finance, you see collateral management, because that's how definitely I think everyone on this board has evolved. And it's definitely how CalPERS has evolved. We look nothing like we did 5 years ago, but it was a journey for us. And I think meeting Rob and becoming a member of GPFA was huge for CalPERS as an organization. A few years back, although I run securities finance and collateral management, I'm in our investment treasury. We didn't even think about having an investment treasury group 5 years ago. Rob and a lot of the Canadian plans were very influential in us getting there. We put 20, 25 people who visited a lot of Canadian plans and talked to them, had open conversations. GPFA is the association that opened the door for us to get where we are now. And I look back, and the last couple of years, we've made so much progress. I often wonder where we would be without GPFA. It's a collaborative. They seem like my teammates or some of my older brothers at times. I know that seems kind of hokey to say that, but that's 100% like it is. We feel that whenever we go to the GPFA closed door sessions or at our GPFA conference. There's something unique in the atmosphere. I love it personally.
That's great. And Jerry, maybe you can pick up on that member engagement, that feeling of camaraderie, the growth that the organization has had across different regions and different buy side organization, speak to sort of how it's changed, because it started with your four North American pensions, but today it's a very different composition. It's much broader. And not to not give the four of you all credit in terms of your own size and stature in the marketplace and securities finance, it's obviously significant. And that's sort of what drew you all together to partner, like you've just talked about, in creating this business association for the betterment of the industry broadly. I think that it's an impressive group nowadays. Maybe, Jerry, you could walk our listeners through that.
Yeah, I would echo what's been said. There are so many ways to do securities finance that when I got to OPERS in 2004, I had been on the agent lender side. And stepping into that role, I knew very little about the buy side other than how to maximize securities lending revenue, but no models to look at, no people to talk to, in essence. So it's fascinating how many ways there are to do securities lending just from public pensions in the US or in North America in general. The four members of this board that are represented here, we all do it differently. And that's just four pension funds in North America. So if you add in all of the other memberships that are represented in the association, from insurance companies to sovereign wealth funds to even asset managers to some degree, you're going to find a breadth of experiences that I think people are willing to share. Certainly, we've been blessed to listen to their education sessions to talk to us about what they do. And, when we started the organization, nobody came in and said, here's the model people need to follow. Let's get in line. Everybody was learning. And I think that's one of the huge advantages to this association, that everybody is willing to learn and willing to talk about what they do, knowing that there's models for each organization that may be different.
It's kind of funny, Jerry, as you say that when we started, was a lot of the members, they spoke just about SEC lending. Today we talk about collateral management. However, now the discussion is more on balance sheet management. And as we think about balance sheet management, we start thinking about the entire asset and liquidity of a firm. And the idea there is you have your repo trading, you have SEC lending, you have FX, you have Delta One, index, cash reinvest, all under one umbrella. And you've seen since the organization was formed 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, we've seen that trend in the industry where members are all consolidating this function into a balance sheet function, reports into the CIO. One of my ideas at the time was I wanted to take collateral SEC lending ideas to the top of the house. And today, this discipline is being recognized at large pension plans at a total fund level. So in a lot of ways, we bring in presence to a function that was a back office function back in 08. And we bring in that right to the forefront as firms think about total fund management.
And I don't think you can overstate the influence that the GPFA has had on those conversations, the influence that this organization has in facilitating discussions around balance sheet management, really asset management writ large, because as asset owners, some of the most fruitful discussions that I've been involved in over the past decade have been around how are we good stewards of the assets that are entrusted to us, but also how do we maximize the value of those assets for our beneficiaries? How do we invest in a way that is responsible, but also how do we ensure that we're maximizing the value of all of those assets in many different contexts? And a group like the GPFA has allowed us to understand better what some of the different value propositions are in different kinds of activities that maybe we weren't participating in before. And like Mike alluded to before, it's had a direct impact on how we've structured our organization and how we've decided to centralize some activities and create additional oversight and responsibility areas in the front office for a number of different functions that maybe were less focused on previously and now are very much front and center in terms of how we manage the assets that we have. You can draw a direct line from the conversations that we have within the GPFA amongst the members to some of these changes that we're seeing in the broader industry.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we could look back and say we are a forum to bring pension plans and asset owners, beneficial owners together where we share and we created a lot more transparency into this financing market. It's still a market where it's OTC, and we're seeing a lot of activities that are moving into cleared, index traded, and that type of stuff. So a lot of transparency has been brought into the market via the GPFA.
I'll just add to that, transparency came, and I think folks had to reevaluate what they were doing and how they were doing it. As I was prepping for this call, one of the questions that I thought maybe we could propose this to you guys got me thinking a little bit more. If we were to start today, what would you do differently? But then when I started breaking it down, looking where we come from, and going back to where Chris says, I wonder where we would be if GPFA wasn't in existence. If we weren't forming the GPFA until today, 2026, where would we be? I don't think we'd be further along. I think, GPFA should take some credit for where several plans are now in the current state. So, something to think about. I don't know. If you guys were starting today, what would you do differently?
I like to always put tough questions to Jerry. Jerry,
Sorry,
on to
Jerry.
you.
That is the dynamic that you all have. I love it.
Yeah, I think the thing that probably we would have emphasized earlier in the process, even than we did, even though it was there, maybe it was a little more nebulous than it is now, is the relationship building, being able to take aspects of different people's programs and just examining them internally. Does this work for us? How could we do this better? And looking at models that people are showing. I recall 2 years ago, I recall vividly discussions between the various Australian pensions. It was a debate, but it was like brothers debating about different ways that they thought they could do it better, or you should be able to do things in different ways. I think that camaraderie, like Mike mentioned, those relationships, I think, are the biggest benefit that GPFA has created.
The one thing I'll add to that, Jerry, just to add to that point about the brotherhood and sisterhood idea, is when we started the GPFA, as we're going along the journey, Brooke actually brought this point up to me, community. I didn't really understand the term community as much as I understand it today. Looking back, I heard the word community from Brooke, and then we actually created a community where the culture is very open, very transparent. And a community is established and the trust is established. And when you create a culture with trust, I think we could really and truly have impact at a global scale. When we look at the association, we have over, I mean, the website says 11 trillion. I like to argue it's over $15 trillion in combined assets. The impact that could have on beneficial owners, in most cases, pensioners, 1 basis point of saving on 11 trillion. That's a force for good on a global scale. And to be quite frank, when you look at the amount of membership we have, I would guess it's over 500 million people we touch the lives of.
And I think that community building has definitely been one of the more surprising aspects of this journey, right? When I started having those regular conversations with this group of people, I certainly felt a community, and that was part of what drew me in. But I think when we started the association, I was much more focused on the educational aspects of it, the knowledge sharing, things like that. What I've come to realize is that's most effective when you have that trust and open dialogue. And it's translated into not just a benefit for me and my professional career or my team and the activities that I'm involved in at SWIB. It's benefited my whole organization. There's not a month that goes by that I don't either have some kind of incoming request from somebody within my organization to connect with our global peers. Can you put me in touch with lawyers that are dealing with this issue in this country? Or can you put me in touch with the risk team that's handling this aspect of the business in this organization? And I'm happy to facilitate those discussions, and I can only do that because of my involvement with GPFA, because I have this global network of professionals and organizations that we can reach out to. And there is that level of trust there where they're going to pick up the call and they're going to get on the phone and they're going to have a conversation, a very candid conversation about all of the challenges that we're all dealing with. That is incredibly beneficial.
That's amazing. I mean, to think of where it was, the journey over the past 5+ years and where you all are now is a huge accomplishment. And not just to the four originators of your plans, but to those that have joined the group. And so maybe just a couple statistics, and then I want to pick your brains on where you think the next 5 years, to the extent you have your crystal balls out, where you think that might take you and take the organization. For those that maybe don't know, this is an all volunteer effort across the board. It's member-led, member-driven, and it's all volunteers, both on the board and those administering. But that's been my role. My role has just been one of a volunteer to help be a facilitator for you more administratively and acting as sort of a secretary to the group. But the membership, so it's over 40 members globally. Rob noted a bit ago that the asset base is, we all like to say north of 11 trillion, but probably somewhere between 11 and 15 trillion. Canada has always been a very strong contributor. And today, the member base coming out of Canada is about 45% of GPFA's overall global member base. And then with the US being the next big contributor of around 25%, but strong representation of massive asset owners coming out of Europe, Asia, Asia Pacific, Australia, the Middle East, many major regions where sovereigns and other big pension and asset owners are congregated. That's the member base of GPFA now. And so it does have this amazing global connected network effect that has created a really strong community. And I think that's admirable. And you should all be celebrated for the contributions.
The one other stats I would add to that, Brooke, is in the past, in the early days, we were out there making calls, asking members to join. And I always said that we'll get to 40 plus members. That was the original goal in less than 5 years, which we did. However, we are getting more inbound calls. As a matter of fact, I had one 15 minutes ago with a very large firm in the UK, and it was asking me questions about settlement lending and collateral management. And I said, you know what? It's a great idea. I could provide some time, I would give you someone to help you along the way. However, you should consider joining GPFA. And she said, yep, this we are going to join in the next couple of weeks. So in a lot of ways, we've seen that we are attracting that community, the community is almost self-growing.
And it's incredible to me how organic that growth has been. We are a buy-side focused organization. We don't have large banks that are underwriting the activities that we do. We are volunteer driven. Our funding comes entirely from membership dues, which we've tried to keep as modest and reasonable as possible. And yet we've been able to grow this global footprint. I think it speaks to a real desire to have these authentic connections with global buy-side peers and have those conversations and discussions that we're trying to facilitate every day.
I think the big question now is where do you all go from here? So, what you're doing, you've created this community, you've created this network. There's a lot of best practice, idea sharing, knowledge transfer, interconnected conversations that are happening. It's broadened from just securities lending to securities finance and beyond. It's crossing over different disciplines. It's gathering many times throughout the year in person and virtually on all sorts of different topics. It's bringing in expertise from either member organizations or the marketplace broadly. But what happens from here? Where does it go?
I gave that some thought, and I'm going to throw my little pitch in here. The last few years, I've been fortunate enough to be involved with the annual member meeting. And if you just looked at our size and growth that we've had there, I think the first one coming out of COVID, we all got together. A bunch of folks couldn't travel, but we still did it anyways. We had a small room in a hotel. We all sat around. We didn't have speakers or audiovisual equipment, and we made it all happen to where we were last year in Montreal, or even the year before, where we're going to be this year in Columbus. We moved on to having members host, but we've expanded, we've grown so much that we're looking to some of our bigger guys with some bigger resources to house the number of people we're looking at. Where I see this potentially going is where I see the next 5 years, we're going to have to go to a venue that can host conferences and stuff like that. I think GPFA, we will be a namesake host for a conference here sooner or later. And I think that's going to help attract more and more folks. A lot of the bigger plans say, hey, GPFA is a good place for me. But I have conversations with some of the smaller guys in California. They're like, oh, we're too small. No, you're not too small. And you're welcome. Come here and learn from us, talk to us. They won't experience that camaraderie of a togetherness or a group or a team until they do. But, 5 years, I see us hosting a big conference on an annual basis and expanding our membership and growing. When I sat down and looked at this, I see that easily can happen here. We're in a good place right now. And, from where we were, our first conference 3 years ago to where we are now, it's just like the growth is just, it's unreal. And I love it.
That's great. We'll make sure to have the AV on hand then in the future years.
We get the AV thing worked out, but initially, as Chris said, our membership fees are modest, and I was just
Right.
trying to do something to save a buck,
It's
being
been
there
a
for the rep, so.
shoestring budget. And I should note for listeners that the board has grown and now incorporates Cherie Jeffries from the state of Florida, as well as Amy Borquist from Adia. And there's leadership that's come into the fray as well in different regions, both from Canada and Australia. And the organization is looking to add more leadership throughout the US and Europe and the Middle East. So there's a lot of broader involvement than these original four founders. But I would say you all have your roles that you have played over the past 5 years. And I think that that's what's made this really work well. So I was just going to note Chris Benish, his role has been that of treasurer. And it's a very defined role, one that Rob Gooby has not been allowed to touch. It's been firmly with Chris. He's minding the wallet, minding the member dues, making sure the money comes in, and making sure that Rob's grand visions don't outsize the modest budget that the group's been maintaining. So it's been fun to be involved with you all and to watch you all evolve things. Jerry May's been Mr. Governance. Mike Johnson's been the coordinator extraordinaire for the annual meetings and really pulling everyone together and getting some vision from the membership in terms of speakers and organization. And Rob Gooby's been the ultimate salesperson along the way, right?
So,
It all started from what would Rob Gooby do? And that's the direction everyone then looks to head eventually.
he continues to be that spark of inspiration and excitability that we rally around as we think about what comes next.
It's the energy. It's the energy that I think you've always had, Rob, and that you still have.
I'll tell you this, Brooke, don't undersell yourself. We have the ideas, but without the execution, ideas is nothing. And that allowed me to think bigger, grander, because I know the execution part is going to be taken care of. So we really appreciate your help. You're down to the GPFA. If we start thinking about where do we go from here, the fun part about the GPFA is some of the challenges and some of the issues. In the past, it was a lot of my ideas in the beginning, but as we grow and the board grow and the membership grow, the responsibilities also grow. And with that great responsibility, we got to sit back, be focused, and think about what is best for our community. And it's not just an idea that I would have had 5 years ago. So in a lot of ways, if I have an idea, now I try to bring it to the board and say, hey, how could we do this? And do you guys agree? Get consensus and then move on. But the big vision really is to get more engagement from the community. One strategy that we use, we need to get better at, and we are getting better at, is we have the board, then we have country heads. And the idea is to have co-heads. We get established co-heads in Canada, US, Europe, Asia, Middle East. And so the intent, when you have those different co-heads, you have more volunteers. Like I said, we have a volunteer approach. And then within that, at the next level, we have the working groups, and each working group also has a co-head. And the idea is for those working groups to bring on members within their cohort. So legal, for example, we have like about 25 lawyers meeting on a monthly basis on different issues. And then the intent is to just bring it out and then maybe have the legal staff that help other areas, not just experts in the legal area, but the risk area, bring them in into that cohort. So I could see growth, but the growth is going to happen at the different disciplines. And one member said, Kubi, the sideshow might become the main act one day with GPFA, because GPFA is Global PF Financing Association. But within that, we have an AI working group, we have a legal working group, we have a technology working group. And those groups in itself, we expect them to grow, the leaders to grow. And to Mike's point, when we do host our actual conference at some point in the future, within the next 2 to 3 years, I would say, it's not going to just be on secondlending or trading, but we expect to have legal firms to show up, technology firms to show up in there, risk firms, and so a broad industry discussion.
And that really is the natural, I think, evolution of GPFA as an organization, is we've already started touching lots of different groups within each of our organizations. There's more we can do in terms of, like Rob said, better connecting those different subgroups, those different professionals within our orgs. When I think about what comes next, something Mike said resonated with me in that you're not too small to join. If you're listening to this and you're not part of GPFA, but you're curious in this conversation, come join us. Like, whether you're a big part of a big sophisticated plan or you're a single person who is interested in connecting with global peers on investment activities, everybody's welcome. And I think there's a place for everybody within this association. All we ask is be curious and be candid. And that's all we ask of our members. And get involved, get engaged in whatever way makes sense for you. And we're just trying to provide a forum for that.
I think the tagline that GPFA adopted, that Rob was maybe your original one, which was better together. And I think that much of what you all have shared supports that underlying theme, which is your original coming together pre-COVID and more than 5 years ago was to come together and figure out how you guys could all better yourselves by coordinating and talking amongst one another. And that's really grown over the years and has proven itself in many different ways. And I think that this is an exciting summation conversation of what has happened and, more importantly, what's to come and likely the trajectory that GPFA will have over the next couple of years. So, yeah, thank you all for doing this. Thank you, first of all, for all the effort and the involvement and the volunteerism that you've had for the GPFA. I know the membership appreciates it. Any final thoughts or closing remarks that you all want to make?
The only thing I would say is that just in summary of what everybody else has already said, but it's about relationships. We are involved in each other's growth. And I think that it's important that everyone realize that's listening to this that you can't do it alone. It's just not an efficient model anymore when you have so many other resources out there like GPFA, like the members who are willing to share. And relationships, I think, are the key to the next 5 years. So we'll grow in membership, we'll grow in partnerships, we'll grow in industry participants, just in general, defining where those relationships go. So I think that's what you'll see out of GPFA in the next 5 years.
For those that are looking to connect with us, you can find us through our website. We also try to facilitate in-person groups and meetings alongside a number of industry conferences and events, in addition to our own annual meeting for GPFA members. So there's lots of ways to get involved and get connected to us.
That's a really great point, Chris, that you made. So, for those listening, if you are a GPFA member or a global beneficial owner friend that might want to engage with other GPFA members, the group is gathering outside of conference hours for a networking event during the PASLA conference upcoming in Bangkok, Thailand in early March. So, look for those GPFA folks that are gathering there and other beneficial owners attending that conference in between the conference networking opportunities. They're also gathering in New York City. That meeting is paired in the same week as the Fanadium Investors and Securities Lending Conference event. So again, the expectation is other market participants will be in New York that week, and GPFA is planning to meet at a member office that week. Also alongside the CASLA conference in Toronto at the end of May. And so again, another GPFA member will be hosting a meeting the day prior to the CASLA conference, as they have done the past few years, and which has been a great success for the Canadian market and those members up there. They also will be gathering in partnership with ISLA. ISLA and GPFA have been very successful over the past number of years to co-host the closed door beneficial owner event at ISLA's conference, and they've seen tremendous growth of beneficial owner participation in their event, which is great. That's in Lisbon, Portugal, in June this year. And then, if we round the corner and continue on the calendar, in September of this year, the annual GPFA meeting will be hosted in Columbus, Ohio, with Jerry hosting the group there at OPERS's office. So they have great facilities and an auditorium-sized room that's going to fit everyone that Mike Johnson is going to convince to make the trip to Columbus. So thank you, Jerry, and thank you, Mike, for leading the group and planning this year's annual meeting. And then in October, GPFA is again, for a second year in a row, partnering with ISLA Americas as they host their event and their annual conference in Florida. And that will again be in partnership of co-hosting the closed door beneficial owner event and building out the participation for the ISLA Americas conference from the buy side. And so again, they've seen growth in their beneficial owner engagement and participation in that conference event, which is a really big market resource for the North American region. And I know that both ISLA Americas and GPFA are looking forward to growing that meeting and participation amongst the beneficial owners later this year. So there's a lot on the calendar that doesn't begin to even touch on all of the other one-off single topic meetings that GPFA hosts, all of the working groups that Rob and others have been discussing. And so if you are interested in more information, as Chris mentioned, the GPFA website's a great starting point to reach out out to the GPFA group, and I'm sure that they would love to connect and engage. I want to thank you all. Thank you, Rob, Mike, Chris, Jerry. Thank you again for your time today and for all of the work that you've put into growing GPFA over the past 5 years. It's pretty impressive and exciting. And hopefully this is a good one for listeners to reacquaint themselves with the association. So thanks again.
Thanks, Brooke.
Thank you, Brooke.
Thank you, Brooke.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Peer Connections by GPFA. We hope you found the information shared in this podcast interesting and beneficial. And as always, please feel free to reach out to GPFA with ideas or interests for future episodes. And if you liked what you heard today, don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Now for the disclaimer. The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of their respective employer organizations. This material is for your private information and does not constitute legal, tax, or investment advice. There's no representation or warranty as to the current accuracy of nor liability for decisions based on this information.